Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be able to connect one with another. You know, in these days, we definitely need the body of Christ. Just want to announce one of our loved ones passed away in Ebenezer Baptist Church, Cameron Robertson. And we just ask you to please pray for the family, the Robertson family and the Lucas family, especially Kia and Omar, the parents, and Kayla and the twins. We just want to just lift them up all in prayer. The funeral arrangements for this wonderful young man will be on tomorrow. 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock will be visitation at Ebenezer, and 3 o'clock will be the funeral. So we ask you to please continue to hold that family up in prayer, especially during this very challenging times. As we are staying connected with one another, don't forget about ebcnc.com and everything that's going on. And I ask you to please stay encouraged. Love on one another, embrace one another, especially in this season of changing times. Well, I need a word today, so let's prepare our hearts as we think about how gracious our God is. See you soon.
If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, just look at the book of Psalms, chapter 37. And there's a few verses that I want to read. We'll start it since we were listening to our sister at 102. I want to start at verse 25. All right? Listen at what it says. The writer says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I think that's enough for us.
Oh, I woke up early this morning. My heart was beating right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. Then I went over to my window, and while looking through the shade, once again I had to tell him, thank you, Lord, for letting me see another day. Now the sun was brightly shining, the wind was blowing not too strong. In a treetop just a few feet away was a robin singing a song. I don't know what he was singing. Pretty soon he was on his way. Who's to say he wasn't being grateful and saying thank you for another day? Everybody ought to be thankful and pray. Woke you up this morning. Yeah, yeah, cause if a robin could say thank you, you can do it too. Let me sing that one more time. Oh, I woke up early this morning. My heart was beating right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. Then I went over to my window, and while looking through the shade, once again I had to tell him, thank you, Lord, for letting me see another day. Everybody ought to praise. He's been good to us, y'all. He woke you up this morning. Yeah, yeah, cause if a robin could say thank you, come on and praise his name. He's been good to us, y'all. He woke you up this morning. Yeah, yeah, cause if a robin could say thank you, you can do it too.
wonderful to be connected to the body of Christ, to have believers that are praying for us and encouraging us and also being edified with us as we walk on this journey. As we get back into this section of distractions and fears, there are so many popping up because the enemy knows that his time is short and he's trying to do all he can do to dissuade us from our mission and our purpose. I love that scripture that we have been standing on, 2 Timothy 1:7. I pray that you've committed to heart. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I encourage you, as you're going through your days and weeks, man, quote that scripture as those distractions and fears come at you. Well, we've got an exciting section to get into today, and I'm just thinking about it, just blessed. But before we go any further, let's go in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've made. And Lord, we want to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for this platform that we can virtually connect with one another, even in trying and strange times. Lord, I pray for those who are listening and viewing in, especially those who are not saved. Lord, would you help today be their day that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Lord, give them the reality of Ephesians 2:8, that by grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift from you. And then that next verse talks about not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's all about what you've given to us. Help them to accept that. Lord, I thank you, Father, as we go through this word today, that you will be lifted up. Forgive me of my sins. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. I just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, let's go to a popular book, a very powerful book, also as we jump into the book of Esther, the book of Esther. You remember we have been progressing our way through. On last time, we were in Numbers, and we were dealing with Moses and Aaron. Don't stop believing. So today, we are progressing to pick up this wonderful woman of God, Esther. Esther chapter 4 and the 13th verse. Esther chapter 4. And the 13th verse, it reads, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews.'" That Esther 4:13 again. "And Mordecai, which was her cousin, told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews.'" I want to speak from a title today. It's time to stand. Yes, it's time to stand. As we get into the scriptures today, the time frame is about 483 to 473 BC. This is a time of judgment for the Jewish nation. Many of them have been exiled to other areas. And here we come into the Persian Empire, and we have a king that's set up, King Ahasuerus. And there he has a queen called Vashti. Ahasuerus, we're going to find out his personality is straight. He's caught up in himself, pride, and just living the life. And in that lifestyle of that time, he was considered a god in his own sense. And so he calls for his wife Vashti, which is very beautiful, to come in. And he wanted to show her off before all the lords and advisors. And Vashti just said, "Forget it. It's not happening today. I am not coming in. I'm not going to be anybody's toy." And because of that, it caused a stir within the palace. The king's upset. His advisors come to him and say, "Well, you can't let this happen. You got to get rid of her, because if you let this happen, her do this, then we're going to have problems in our own household." So the king, he actually gets rid of Vashti. And they say, the advisors say, "You need to look for another queen." And hence, this position is open up for God to do something wonderful. Esther is raised up. Now, Esther and Mordecai is actually taken in his cousin, Esther. She's orphaned by her dad, and Mordecai, part of the family, takes her in. And he raises her up in the best way he can. And this opportunity comes. Esther is very, very beautiful. She goes to try out for this position because all the beautiful women were called from all the surrounding areas. To cut the story short, Esther is chosen. King falls in love with Esther. She becomes queen. But one of the deals, Mordecai, her cousin tells her, don't tell the king or anybody else that you are a Jew. So she moves into the palace. Nobody knows her background, where she's come from, and she is now the queen. In the midst of all these things, she's living the life. She's living her best life now. God has truly blessed her. There's another person, advisor, that rises up. His name is Haman. And Haman just has it out for the Jews simply because Mordecai did not bow before him. Mordecai, being a Jew, he decides, I'm going to take it out on everybody. All the Jewish background, I'm going to take them out. And he sets up this grand plot to really exterminate all the Jews. And so we're going to pick up into this chapter today. Mordecai finds out about this plot, and it's heart-wrenching. Let's jump into Esther 4:1. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. First point, we will have to cry. Yeah, we will have to cry. Saints, I know it's our yearning and our thought pattern, man, if we can just stay close to Jesus, that we're not going to have to go through. But we're going to have to go through. Jesus didn't promise us that every day would be a happy day. He said that we could have joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory. But there's some witnesses out there know that we can have tears that are coming down our face. But there still be joy within our heart. But we're still going through. Mordecai, within this scripture, he's protesting with his tears. He's hurt. His heart is wrenched because he's found out this devious plot of Haman is wants to exterminate all the Jews, all his brothers. It's not just against him, but everybody that has his background, Haman wants to wipe out. Luther Barnes, he's saying this. He said, trouble in my way, I have to cry sometime. Trouble in my way, I have to cry sometime. I lay awake at night, but that's all right. Jesus will fix it after a while. Any witness out there? As we're thinking about this, and Mordecai crying out, wanting deliverance of this type from God, Proverbs or Psalms 35 comes to my mind. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Isn't that good news? So even in our weeping, even though we have to cry, even though distractions and fears come our way and pressure is put upon us, we know that our deliverance is on the way. We know that we have a victorious God that's more than enough. Let me show you Esther 4:2. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. You see the picture? They're tore up. They don't know what to do at this point. Esther 4:4. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Here's another point. There is no easy way out. There is no easy way out. When Esther gets this news, she's just trying to fix it. And we all have been there. When distractions and fears come to our lives are turned upside down. We want to fix it as quickly as we can. But many times there's no easy way out. We've got to trust the Lord. We've got to walk in the faith. She hears about Mordecai. He's come all the way up to the gate in sackcloth. This was not allowed in the society for him to come inside the gates. Even he wasn't supposed to get near it in sackcloth. He could actually be killed simply because the king didn't want to know about what was going on the outside. He didn't want the sadness emanating into the palace and the area of his authority. And so Esther realizes this and she's concerned. And so what she does, she sends him some clothes. She thinks that you know, clothing him, give him some brand new suit is going to fix the problem. In actuality, she does not even understand the depth of the problem. Saints, we are in spiritual warfare time. And it is my concern, as we've been in the series of talking about distractions and fear, that we don't understand how serious this battle is. We don't understand what the enemy is trying to do to change our minds and to get into our thought patterns, and so many things that we used to not even think about accepting that somehow they've wiggled their way in, and it's actually it's touching our sanctification, being separated, because we are looking more like the world. I'm talking about it's time to stand. We cannot forget Ephesians 6 and 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That 13th verse, very powerful. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Yes, it's time to stand. The enemy wants to devour us. In the same respect, we see Esther, she's in the palace. Mordecai, he's coming up against Haman, who's trying to wipe out everything. The enemy wants to take us out. He wants to take the believers out. 1 Peter 5:8. We've talked about this so much. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat us up. There any amens out there? We sense the pressure in a day-to-day walk as we're striving to be more like Christ. We're striving to walk in the spirit of not being in fear, but we want to walk in the spirit of faith, and we're battling through. And I'm so glad for 1 Peter 5:9. This is really celebrating our lives. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We got to fight through this. We got to resist the devil, and we've got to understand we're not the only ones going through. Any hallelujahs out there? Yes, you got your struggles. I've got my struggles, but we're going through this together, and we have to stand. Look at Esther 4:5. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. Look at this, Esther 4:6. She's trying to get all the information together. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in the front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. Here's another point, the plot of the enemy. Now, before we get deep into this portion of scripture, the enemy just doesn't come at us in a haphazard way. He just doesn't come at us and just hit us in any old way. It's a plan. It's methodical. It's thought about. He's learned much about human nature and our desires. And so whatever temptation, distraction, fear that you're dealing with in your life, it's been thought about. The enemy has talked to his demons. They've had a round table, and they're trying to figure out how they can trip us up and get us out of, I'll say this again, the mission that God called us to be. And the enemy is clearly very educated in the study of man. He knows where we're most susceptible. Any amens? He does. He knows where to hit us, where our weak points us. Notice the enemy here uses Haman in a very special way that's very similar to Judas Iscariot. You remember Jesus and Judas. And this is an important point. The king of Persia, he was actually ruled by his pride. And also there's another part that he was ruled by, the love of money. The money at that time, gold and silver and all that could provide for a king to make him strong and ruler of the area. We find out the king is in love with that. Look at Esther 4:7, a little closer to that second part. And the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury to destroy the Jews. It's time to stand. This is a very subtle distraction that can come in even in our lives, that we may be tempted to not do God's way because of money, desiring fame, desiring pride within our lives, that we be lifted up. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The king's not thinking really clearly at this point. He's just like, Haman's going to give me some money. I'm excited about this. That means I'm going to have more. I can do more. I can have more power and authority. He's not thinking about the repercussions to what could occur by these edicts that are being put out. What are we willing to do for money and fame and power and control? As I look at our society, I am seeing so many of these pressures used by the enemy. And I'm seeing those people that I respected and loved and even thought that were very close to God, I'm seeing them fall because they have been distracted and the enemies come in. And it's my prayer for all of us that we not fall to these things. It's just a distraction of the enemy. It's just something that he's bringing in to keep us from fulfilling that which God has called us to do. Remember Jesus, even within the scriptures, he was attacked by the enemy with this type of pressure. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." It's time to stand. Yes, Jesus was pressured by the enemy, and he was taken up, and he saw all these things, and the devil had the audacity to say, "I'll give it all to you, this power, this money, this fame. Your pride will be lifted up. People will fall down before you, but all you have to do first is to fall down before me. You have to worship me." And in the scriptures, Matthew 4:10, we see how Jesus deals with this distraction and fear. He stood up. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." It's the same picture here, as Esther is getting ready to go through even more. And Mordecai is already taking a stand, and Haman is being used hideously of the enemy. Look at Esther 4:8. "He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication for him or to him and plead before him for her people." So all of these things are coming in. Now Esther really gets the gravity of what's going on, the detail of this situation. Esther 4:9. "So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words." Here's another point, very powerful: excuses. Excuses. Now, as we've looked at these particular scriptures, they're important to note as we pull them in. Excuses can be good excuses, but still excuses. They can be powerful excuses, truthful excuses, but still excuses. Esther brings out of this, she says, "Hold up, okay, you want me to do something. I realize that our nation is in peril, our background, the Jews are in peril, but I've kind of fallen out of graces with the king. I was his number one, but it's been 30 days. He's kind of lost interest with me. He has many other women that he can be with, and he can desire beautiful women. And it's been 30 days before he's even called me. And please, I can't go in, because there's also the king is put out. If anybody comes into the court without being called, can be put to death." Excuses, powerful excuses. But we have to realize that as we're walking in this life, though excuses come up, we've got to be willing to take a stand. Look closely at Esther 4:8, that second part. He said, "which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain to her, that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him
for her people. But Esther is dealing with distractions and fear. She's concerned. She's like, I may die. And I think that it's at a higher level. I respect Esther so much, but she had gotten used to this lifestyle. There ought to be some amens. Used to living in the palace, used to all the beauty treatments, used to the nail salon and the hair and all of those things. And it was concerned not just of death, but I may lose my what I've gotten. But we've got to remember, and I want you to hear, we've got to remember, it is God that has gotten us where we are at. It is God that has blessed us. It is God that has brought us to the place that we are right now. And we can never forget, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, there ought to be some hallelujah. So many times we can get caught up with where we are, caught up because we got a promotion on our job, caught up because we're doing well, caught up because we have a new house, or caught up because we're able to move to a better place in community. But don't you ever forget, if it had not been for God on your side, God can raise you up and God can bring you down. That's why we have to trust God in whatever state we find ourselves in, that we are content. Look closely at Esther 4:11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death except for to one whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. We've got to realize that in spite of the situation, the circumstances that are stacked up against us, if God has called us to do something, God is more than enough for us. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, I'm speaking to somebody. Some of you are up against some things right now, and you're battling. God is calling you to do something, maybe witness the gospel to somebody, and you're concerned. You're concerned about your social status or what they're going to think about you when you share the gospel. I want you to know, you got to stand. It's time to take a stand. It's time to trust in the Lord with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, because you never know what God is getting ready to do. The souls that will be saved and delivered and brought to the knowledge of the truth. As we live in these last days, we must take a stand, but it's going to cost us something. Yes, it's going to cost us something. Jesus lays it on the line within the New Testament as he begins to teach his disciples the cost of discipleship. Look at Mark 8:34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Saints, I believe this has been a challenging point within society when it comes to the Christian faith. We got to take up our cross. We got to realize there are some struggles, that this society is going contrary to the will of God. And because of that, there's going to be some struggles. Mark 8:35, and whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. It's time to stand. Look at Mark 8:36. This is powerful. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Sadly, I see in our society that many people are selling out. Many people are choosing the world instead of God and his righteousness and his sanctification. But Esther has to make a choice here. It's time to stand. Look at Esther 4:13. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther. I love this. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Here's a point. You can't escape. You can't escape. Mordecai, bless his heart, he warns Esther because he realized that, that when distractions and fears come into our lives, we tend to want to stay on the cushy side. And Mordecai said, okay, sweetheart, I realize that we've been separated a period of time, and you in the palace now, and you've got the queenly robes, and you got all the stuff that's going on. It's a cushy lifestyle. But don't you think, just because they don't know that you are a Jew, that you're going to escape this judgment? This is important. Even though her identity as a Jew was hidden, Mordecai realizes something. The enemy is going to find you. She was going to be found out even within the palace. It was time for Esther to stand. Now this whole story begins to come together that God just didn't raise Esther up just because of her beauty to get into to become a queen. It was bigger than that. And in your life, somebody need to listen to me right now. You just didn't get the promotion. You just don't have the things that you have and the family that you have just so that you're happy. Please understand, there's a bigger picture that God wants to use you for His glory, for His purpose, for His plan. Remember, Joshua said it well in Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, there ought to be some excitement. We will serve the Lord. It's time to stand. Saints, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us to stand for holiness. It's time for us to stand for righteousness of God. It's time for us to stand for God's word. It's time for us to stand for what God has said and know that it's true. We must stand at all costs and not be wooed by this world, not be wooed into the desires of the flesh and all those things that can overtake our mind. Look at Esther 4:14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Here's the point. It's time to walk in faith. It's time to walk in faith. I love these words. Very powerful. You know they're being led of God. Mordecai says, hold up, please. If you stay silent now, this is not the time to be silent. You got to take a stand here. He says, it's going to come. It's going to come for you. But who knows? God has put you in a position for a time like this. Where is the Holy Spirit encouraging you in your life? Even in a time of distractions and fear, what is the Holy Spirit leading you to do? There ought to be some hallelujah. Some of you have not stepped out on faith. You haven't done what God called you to do because you're afraid. You're distracted by the world. You're choosing that route that is easier. But I'm telling you, sometimes God is going to say, you got to swim upstream. You're going to have to go through some stuff. But as long as I am with you, remember our memory scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. And as we're walking in the will of God, we're going to have to say that a lot. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You got to make it personal. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have to take a stand. Notice closely at that Esther 4:14, that last part. Mordecai says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Have you thought about that this is your time? That God allowed you to be born into this generation because this is your time? He has put you here for this season to use you just as Esther was in the palace to be used for God's glory to save many. It's the same thing for all of us. All of us have been born for a reason. And I want to encourage you, let God use you. Give Him praise and worship Him just because He's gotten you to this point, just because He is a keeper, just because He is strengthening you. And there is more to do in your life. This is time to be used mightily of the Lord. Notice Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had a purpose before we even understood it. Before we were conceived in the womb, God had a purpose for us. You remember when God spoke to Jeremiah, that weeping prophet, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Say, God, use me for your glory. It's time to stand. Notice these final scriptures. Let me pull this together. I got excited. Esther 4:15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days. night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Here's the final point. We are in this together. Yes, we are in this together. The body of Christ, we are in this together. Yes, if you are a believer and you're listening and viewing in, we are connected together. It doesn't matter whether you go to Ebenezer on 2700 West Vandalia Road. If you are a body of the Christ, we are connected together. We need each other. And Esther brings out this is so beautiful. She says, okay, I'm getting ready to do this, but I need you to be on my side. I need you to pray. I need you to fast. I need you to call out my name. Look at closely Esther 4:16, she said, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, and I need you to fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. Esther says, I need some favor of the Lord. I need God's power to go before the king. And I need his anointing to go before the king, because if I get this wrong, then I'm going to perish and I'm not going to be the help that I need. But I love this final part, Esther 4:16, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. That's why I love Esther. You see that, man? She goes from fear and distractions to extreme faith. She goes, okay, I got this. I didn't want to at first. I was making excuses. It was a struggle for me. I was enjoying the lifestyle, but I realized Mordecai, I got a calling on my life, and God has done so much for me, and he's worthy of all the praise. I just need you to fast. I need you to pray, because I need to walk in the will of God. Matthew Poole, he paraphrases this in a wonderful way. He says, although my danger be great and evident, considering the expressness of that law and the uncertainty of the king's mind and that severity which he showed to my predecessor Vashti, yet rather than neglect my duty to God and to his people, I will go to the king and cast myself cheerfully and resolutely upon God's providence for my safety and success. It's time to stand. I wish there'd be some more saints that would stand like this and say, you know what? Though I perish, let me perish. I just want to do God's will. I wish there were more saints that were willing that when God's presence comes into your life and you begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, that I don't know, you may be at Walmart, you may be at Food Line, and I don't want you to get too crazy, but sometimes you just got to let it go and say, God, I just want to thank you right now, because I remember a time that I didn't have the provisions that I have right now. I remember a time that I couldn't just buy the things that I wanted, but God, you've been good, and I dare you to give him praise and glory for what he's. It's time to stand for who God is and for what he's calling us to do. Theologian Farstead, he writes about the faith that's being showed in this distressed and fearful time. The Christian attitude in difficult and trying circumstances should not be one of fatalism, but of optimism. Especially when it comes to approaching the heavenly throne for grace to help in a time of need. Saints, I'm telling you, it is time to stand, and we need to realize that we have immense grace on our side. Somebody say grace. You can put it in chat. Grace, grace, grace. I got grace on my side. Unmerited favor. Again, if it hadn't been for God on our side, we wouldn't have been where we are right now. But it's time to stand for him. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Well, as we conclude this today, I'm excited for Esther. I'm just going to fast forward to the end. Yes, Esther goes before the king. God gives her grace and mercy. The king accepts her with open arms. She's able to eventually tell him about the plot, and all of a sudden, he's able to write another edict to kind of dissuade that which is Haman has put forth. Haman will actually be judged. He had actually built up some gallows that Mordecai be hung on it, and Haman will have to hang on the gallows that he put for somebody else. Oh, aren't you glad for God using Mordecai? Aren't you glad for God using Esther? But I want you to know there's another one that's better than both of them. His name is Jesus. He took a stand for us. He came from heaven to earth to walk among men, heal the sick, and he raised the dead, all to take a stand for us. He knew that he was going to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, but yet he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed beat with a kiss, but he doesn't fight back. He takes our beating that we deserve, goes to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He dies on that cross for you and myself, and they put him in a cold tomb. But I'm so glad to let you know that 3 days later, he gets up with all power and glory. Remember Esther, she said, pray for me. I need you to fast for 3 days. Aren't you glad that it took 3 days for Jesus to get up with all power and glory? And now we can call on him. He is on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and we can take a stand for him. Yes, we can stand in these times of distractions. We can stand in these times of fear. We can stand strong because our God has done more than enough. If you're out there and you don't know Jesus, let today be your day. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and says you will be saved. Why go another day without Christ in your life? The Holy Spirit will come in powerfully. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. For the saints that love the Lord today, I want to encourage you, it's time to stand. Saints, we have been dissuaded in so many instances from the true reality of God's word, and that we need to pick up our cross daily and we've got to follow him. There's going to be some times that we're going to risk things in our lives. We're going to lose some stuff, but it's all worth the glory of the cross and what Christ has done for us. So I want to encourage you, take a stand wherever the challenges may be coming in your life today or tomorrow or the week following that you stand in Jesus and know that God has your back. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for clearly laying down by Esther's life and Mordecai, and even using Haman in this whole scenario, Lord, that we can see distractions and fear clearly. Lord, we've been dissuaded. We have been caught up in so many things, and money and pride and fame and all these things that the world can give us. But help us make a choice, even as Esther did. Say, we're going to do the right thing. Thank you, most importantly, for your son, Jesus, who took it all the way to the cross of Calvary, died for us, and got up on that third day with all power. Lord, we praise you. Help us to take a stand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Forever, life of confusion has so long. Storm keep you drifting. Sorry, ride out your storm. God is there with you. You may not feel him. You're not alone. You're hurting now, but your morning is coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God is there with you. You may not feel him, but you're not alone. Oh, you heard him now. Morning is coming. Just remember his promise. He said, I'll never leave you. Ride out your storm. God is there with you. You may not feel him, but you're not alone. Oh, you're hurting now, but your morning is coming. Just hold on to Jesus. Ride out your storm. He's right there with you.
Hold on to Jesus.
And ride out your storm. He'll never leave you.
Hold on to Jesus.
And ride out your storm.
Hello, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be with you for communion. God has made this time a special time that we really can examine ourselves, and we're going to see that in the scripture today. Actually, before we started, I asked my wife, I was like, you got anything against me? Because really, we want to take this in a manner of sanctification, really recognizing who the Lord is and how powerful he is and what he's done. So wherever you are, if you could get your communion articles on prayer, if you already have it, if not, you can pause us, you can stop us, whatever you need to do, get those articles. You can get regular bread and juice, whatever you have. If you need communion cups from the church, just let us know, send us a text or call, and we can get that out to you. But we want to just focus on Christ and what he's done for us. Before we pray over the articles, I want to read a scripture, and I'm going to ask Bianca to read that. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and the 23rd verse, and it goes through the 32nd verse. And very powerful as she reads that. I really want you to, and there's a part, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So I want you to do an examination as we go through this entire portion of scripture, as Paul the Apostle gets a revelation of what communion really is. So Bianca, if you could start us out.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord.
And I want to just kind of stop and pause here. That's why this is so, so important, that we not take this in an unworthy manner. And as we continue with the scriptures, we're going to see the outline that is laid by the Holy Spirit using Paul the Apostle, that we can make sure that we're not taking it in an unworthy manner. Look at this next scripture.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep.
It's powerful. You ever thought that maybe some people have taken the communion unworthily? They had stuff in their heart, unforgiveness, And because of that, this scripture is powerful. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That is heavy. And we want to make sure that we are in right standing with God through what Jesus Christ has done for us. It continues on.
For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world.
Wow. Thank God for Jesus. I want to pray over the articles today, our bread and juice, as we think about Christ. As you grab your bread and your juice, we want to hold it up to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this communion. Lord, forgive us of our sins. If there's anything, bring it to our remembrance now that we can confess that sin quickly. And you said you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we ask you to pray to bless this bread, and we pray over this juice. We ask you to bless this juice. Let it be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he picks up a bread, and it was broken amongst them. And as he breaks that bread, he said, "This is my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. He grabs the goblet as they're around the table, and they would actually share from the same cup. And I just love the redness of the juice. He said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink, do it in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I am so glad that we know a risen Savior that's seated on the right hand of the Father, and that he's coming back again for us. Let us all be ready. Thank God for what he's done. Well, as you go through your day, I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to celebrate what the Lord is doing in your life. And know our God is so, so faithful. Let's take a stand for him. Talk to you later.